The following message was given by Brother David Wang in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, August 7th, 2016. The title of the message is Moses, God's Companion. Scripture verses are Exodus chapters 32 and 33.
Oh Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for you have redeemed us. You have delivered us out of the world into the wilderness to have the feast with you. Lord, oh, yet in our heart, we still have so many things that we need you to expose, to deal with. Oh, that we can fully become your people. Lord, open our eyes this morning. Bring us into your holy word. We open to you and open to your speaking. Speak, oh, in this morning, through into our ears. May we all have the ear to listen. Amen. Praise the Lord. This morning I have the burden to share that the Exodus 32 and 33. Moses, the companion of God. Probably many of us, I don't want to get into the preface, how God delivered children of Israel out of usurpation hand of Egypt, and through many, many mighty acts, God brought them out of Egypt, crossing over the Red Sea, and supplied them through the wilderness all the way to the Mount Sinai. So there's many, many things God has done for them, and Israelites already all witness what has happened, what God has done in their eyes. But this very cruel and sad things happen in Exodus 32. From Exodus 25, God told Moses that he wanted Moses to go up to mountain to receive the revelation in God's heart, which is to build up his tabernacle. God wants to dwell in the midst of his people. So Moses went up to mountain, and from Exodus 25 to 31, there's a long record of the revelation of God's tabernacle. And this is the portion many of us, when we read the Bible, we enjoy reading the first 20-some chapters of Exodus. But when we come to 25, we stop there. Because very, very detailed description of how the tabernacle should be built up. And we don't understand that. But praise the Lord, now the ministry opened all the details, all the wonderful things, how, why the tabernacle is designed in that way by God. Okay, can I have, okay, you do have the verses. So now I like to share 32 and 33 in three major portions. One is making idols. So maybe we can read verse 1. Together, verse 1 and down to, okay, verse 1 first. Okay, here is that Moses was called up by God to the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. God revealed to him what is deep, deep in God's heart. But then the people here at the mountain, at the foot of the mountain, saw that Moses delayed. Okay, can we see the word delayed? Moses was not delayed. Moses had a good time, no eating and no drinking. to receive the revelation from the Lord. Yet, when we don't have a heart, we will see that someone is delaying. But that really is revealed they are not patient. They don't want to see God's revelation. So the people gathered against Aaron and said to him, "Come, make gods for us." Realize here, make gods, not singular. It's plural. Actually, this word in Hebrew means Elohim. It's not just a single God. You know, here is that the people of Israel has been delivered. And they have seen many acts of God. Yet, at this time, they want to make God. And they force Aaron to make gods for them. As we see, we shall share a little bit more. Who will go before us? As for this Moses, very interesting. The book of Acts, Exodus was written by Moses. And he recorded the detailed wording from the mouth of Israelites. For this Moses, you know, when we say something, we will say, okay, for Peter, for someone. We won't say, for this Peter. It's, then he said, the man. Their connotation is a little bit slightly. They don't really respect this Moses. Now we don't know what happened to him. So we want God. So this is out of their intention. We do not know what has become of him. And Aaron said to them, "Tear off the gold rings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me." Aaron responded to their request. What he said is, "Tear off the gold rings which are in the ears." Where did the Israelites get their gold? They were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. It was a night when they departed from Egypt. God gave the fear to all the Egyptians. And the Israelites plundered from the Egyptians all the gold. But the gold, not for their own beautification, is for building up the tabernacle. Why we put some gold rings in our ears? Isn't our ears beautiful enough? God is a unique creator, and he's an artist. Our ears is very beautiful enough. But we don't respect God's creation. We want to make more beautiful. When the earrings put on our ears, we may boast our beauty. But this is a wrongful use of what God has given to us. Amen. When we plunder, we usurp what God has given to us. This is a source of idolatry. So the idol is made from the gold rings out of our ears. Verse 3. And all the people tore off the gold rings which were in their ears and brought them to them, to Aaron. Well, the people must treasure those golds very, very much. But why at this time when Aaron said, "Tear off the gold rings," they have no hesitation. They tore off and gave to Aaron. Because what they had beautified themselves, now they're going to make idol. So these two things are connected together. And Aaron took the gold from their hand and fashioned it with an engraven tool and made it into a molten calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." 2 million God's people, they spoke in one accord. They have no other opinion. They all said one thing. "These are your gods." They all confess, "These are your gods." What an abomination there. This is the situation there. Why they were suddenly all had a one accord to admit this golden calf is their God. And here, listen, here's a plural. You know, in our heart, we may have all the concept and hypothesis of who God is. If there's no situation to reveal it, it's hidden there. But in the proper time, this hidden God will come out. Everyone see this golden calf. They have no other concept. They said, "This is the one." There must be some hidden concept of who God is within their heart. And now they suddenly see it. Okay. And realize, here at this time, Israelites are the redeemed people of God. And in chapter 19, God said, "I brought you out of the wings of eagle, and you are my treasure." Okay, outwardly, we can be the people of God. Outwardly, we have been saved and baptized. Outwardly, we may say we follow the Lord. But when the situation comes, when God does not meet our schedule, first thing is Moses delayed. God does meet our schedule. God does meet our concept. God does not fit what we think of He is. We will make other gods. And when we see the situation that in that situation, our inner secret is getting exposed. And when Aaron saw this, who Aaron is? Aaron is the high priest appointed by God, Jehovah, to lead the people to worship. Yet Aaron this time, he saw people, they all speak in one accord, say, "This is your God." He built an altar before it. Then Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to Jehovah." Even a proclamation by the high priest, appointed by Jehovah, to make such a proclamation. Actually, this is a proclamation to the golden calf. A feast to the golden calf. A feast to the idol. Not to real Jehovah. Okay, in the life studies of Exodus, Brother Lee point out, today, actually, in many, many Christian gatherings, the pastor were making all sort of things out of the request of the people. Several years ago, when I was working on a theological article for Affirmation and Critique, especially I studied the Pentecostal movement. It was a very prevailing movement throughout the world today. Many people are gained by them because they proclaim many miracles. And to my surprise, I saw so many, many unbiblical teaching, unbiblical practices come out from all these so-called pastors. In Orange County, probably you know, there's a called a Crystal Cathedral. And the pastor was very famous and rich. How did he start his ministry? He was actually a Baptist teacher, preacher. When he was sent to that district, there's no people attending his Sunday morning services. So he went out door knocking. Okay, he also door knock. And he had a survey to the people asking, what you do not want to listen? What do you want to listen? We can provide what you like. We can cater our services to your satisfaction. So most of the people said, we do not want to hear we are sinners. We want to hear how to become prosper, how to become rich. That's why he started his called the Ministry of Prosperity. If you come to this rich, he will teach you how to become rich. It's out of the request from the people. Today, the religion has become a tool used by some ambitious people to have a gain in many aspects, in money, in name, even in prosperity. This is happening today, but thank the Lord, today there's a place keep reminding us, do not make idols. Amen. The word of God is very clear to us. There's nothing can replace the true God within our heart. We only serve him, and we want his heart desire to be fulfilled in us. And they rose up early on the next day and offered burnt offerings. Here they offer burnt offering. They consider they're doing this service to God and brought peace offerings. And people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Okay, here I wanted to show you there's a two opposite pictures here. One is on the mountaintop. One is at the foot of the mountain. On the mountaintop, Moses received the revelation from God. Yet at the foot of the mountain, the same group of people, they are redeemed, they are God's treasure. Yet they are building the golden calf. These two things are taking place simultaneously. So we need to see and ask ourselves, Lord, are we interested in your heart desire, in your building, or we want another leader to satisfy our need? Today's religion is utilizing what God has given to them as a tool to make their life be satisfied, be beautified. But God created us. God redeemed us. God saved us. God has a purpose. We should not utilize God to satisfy our needs. We should present ourselves to satisfy God's needs. Otherwise, sooner or later, there could be a golden calf come out from our worship. It's a matter sooner or later. May the Lord give us a warning. We need to really deal our heart. So what is an idol? Any person, any material things, or any situation that replaces Christ in our heart. How we can deal with? We really need to open our heart. We need to let God's word to shine into us. Today, are we seeking anything other than Christ? If we are seeking those things, you try to make God to fit your concept, to fit your situation, to meet your need, to satisfy what you want. That is golden calf. We already talked about the building material for golden calf. It's the material given by God for the building of the tabernacle. I would say, saints, maybe many young people, after you graduate from college, you go into the workforce. Maybe you think, okay, I have trained and I've been toil many years. Now I can gain and win my salary. So if the salary just for our own use, to meet our needs, sooner or later, the golden calf will come out of you. We need to know who gave us the salary, who gave us the health, who gave us the ability to work. We need to give thanks to the Lord. We shouldn't usurp what God has given to us. And also imagine when children of Israel were building the golden calf. Every day they still go out to fetch the manna. Every day they're still drinking the water, the living water come out from the rock. They still, in a way, enjoying God's supply for their necessities. But they don't connect these two things together. They may think the manna and the water, those are necessities. When the first time they saw the manna, they were very excited. But after a while, it became dull. The sense become numbed. Today, maybe we still come to the meeting. We still read the Bible. We still enjoy God's supply. But if we don't deal with the idol in our heart, we may not know we are actually building a golden calf at the same time. This is very serious. That's why if you're only seeking after miracles, miracles will become your golden calf. That's why in John chapter 2, after the Lord Jesus made the water into wine in the wedding, Apostle John said, Jesus knows what's inside of the heart of people. He does not commit himself to them. And then following chapter 3, when he spoke to Nicodemus, chapter 4, when he spoke to a Samaritan woman, this is no miracle. Just by his life-giving word, he told Nicodemus, You need to be born again. You need to be born of the Spirit and the water. You don't need the miracles. For the Samaritan woman, he said, you need to drink the living water. And you need to worship God in spirit. Amen. Not seeking the outward miracles. I will say it again. If you seek for miracles, your golden calf will come up really soon. Next is that after the golden calf is built up, remember, all the Israelites said, these are your gods. This God is hidden in our concept, in our idea, in our hypothesis. We always thought, God should do this, God should do that. We complain if God does not fulfill our request. If God does things not according to our concept, we will murmur against him. We'll say, if I were God, I would do this. We don't have any respect for this God. Though no one has really seen God, everyone has a concept and a hypothesis of God in our mind. When a replacement of the true God appears, it corresponds with our concept. Then we will consider that this is my God. This one I will worship. If this does not match my concept, then I do not agree. So we are actually idol makers according to our concept. Okay, when they made the golden calf, they actually already broke the Ten Commandments. If we do not deal with the idol in our heart, when the time comes, we will ignore God's commandment. We are not immune from this. It is just a matter of time. Lord, have mercy on us. I pray that every saint this morning, you're sitting here, may we open our heart to the Lord. Amen. To expose. Today we are God's people, but still deep within we have some hidden, incurable concept there. We need God to heal us. We need to see God's mercy and his light to expose our concept and the replacement in our heart. Okay, now let's come to 7 to 9. Okay, can we read it? Also verse 10. Okay, you know, when children of Israel was making the golden calf, God knows already. Our God knows everything. Don't consider him as blind or he's deaf. He wanted to reveal his heart desire, how to build the tabernacle to Moses in a complete way. So he finished that, then he spoke to Moses. Go, get down. Here God said, for your people. Very interesting. Because those people said, for this Moses. Because they thought it's Moses brought them out of Egypt. So God has a little bit of jealousy for your people. Whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. See, here is already God gave them the Ten Commandments. Before God gave them, they said, no problem. Whatever Jehovah said, we will do it. They said three times. They do not recognize who they are. But here, God said, they broke it. They have made themselves a molten calf, and they have worshipped it, and have sacrificed to it, and said, here's the words, exactly the same word pronounced by the people at the foot of the mountain. So God is not deaf. These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. So dear saints, when I read these things many years ago, I have a genuine fear for God. Don't be loose in our mouth. Sometimes when we complain something, or we say something, it's recorded. Remember Jesus said, one time before the judgment seat, all the 闲话, idle words, you have to repeat again. And here, God is repeating the idle words out of the mouth of Israelites. Exactly same word. And Jehovah said to Moses, I have seen this people, and there they are, a stiff-necked people, so they won't turn. Now therefore, let me alone. Wow. You can consider how furious God is now. How angry. And also how upset. He really is upset. He has done everything. And consider today, that story really typifies our God the Father gave his only son at the land of Passover. He delivered us by his own son. Yet, now the people, just in 40 days, they can turn aside. And God is so mad. And God is almighty. And God even said to Moses, let me alone. Wow. If God is so mad, who can constrain him? Who can resist him, right? But God even said to Moses, let me alone, that my anger may burn against them. God is really angry. That I may consume them. It's out of God's judgment. God can do that. And I will make you into a great nation. Isn't that a wonderful deal? Moses should respond, yes, they are stiff-necked people. Praise you, Lord. These people have murmured against me many times. They have even numerous times they tried to stone me to death. Praise you, Lord. No, this is not Moses. Okay, here is that we see God was pressed by the children of Israel by making the golden calf. They pushed God into a corner. They pushed God into a dilemma, a position that God cannot violate his principle. God can surely consume them at once. God is furious. But here God said, let me alone. Okay, verse 11, we see that Moses retreated Jehovah, his God. Praise the Lord, there's such a wonderful word. Specifically said, Jehovah, his God. Out of the 2 million people come out of Egypt, their God, their gods, many gods, is that golden calf. But here, there's one people on the mountaintop. His God is Jehovah. So Moses had a position to intercede. And why he can intercede? Because God said, let me alone. And Moses wouldn't let God alone to do what his anger drive him to do. Jehovah, why does your anger burn against your people? Here is a very interesting thing. God was furious, say, Moses, your people. Here Moses said, no, Jehovah, this is your people. It's a very interesting conversation here. Okay, let me just read out a little bit more, then I will tell you this is what. This is really God. Oh, God needs someone who can really talk like this. Why against your anger burned against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt? Not only you brought them out with great power and with a mighty hand. He gave God a lot of credit. Many times we recognize he's our God, but we don't give him the credit. We consider this is my effort. Why should the Egyptians speak, saying, with evil intent he brought them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your burning anger and repent of this evil against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by yourself and said to them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of, I will give to your seed, and they shall inherit forever. Okay, let's see that in this section, Moses' intercession. First thing, as I mentioned, Jehovah is his God. So we need to really take a clear position. Who is my God? Then we can have the following conversation. Amen. Without this position, we have no position to intercede. Okay, here, most of the first thing you said, Jehovah, why does your anger burn against your people? Here, Moses' conversation or intercession with this mighty God and the angry God, it's just like a wife talking to a furious husband. The husband is mad at his son or his daughter. They give everything to the son and to the daughter, but the son and daughter is rebel. It's the most rebellious things that they doesn't recognize. I'm their father. Doesn't recognize all my miraculous acts. That's nothing. But they do not recognize I'm their father. Right? People of Israel do not recognize Jehovah is their God and point someone, the golden calf is their God. It's like many parents here, you gave everything, you love them, you treasure them, you hold them, you give them everything. When they grow up, you are not my God. He's my God. Or someone else is my God. How do you feel? Your heart is burning within you. Your heart is almost broken. So you are in the furious hand, you are saying that. And God is like husband talking to his wife. Look, your son. And the wife said, oh, wait a minute. It's your son. No, my son. He carries your name. And you brought them out with a mighty hand. So Moses first said, this is yours. Isn't it wonderful? And the next thing is that, he said, why should an Egyptian speak something, evil things, against you? It's just like a wife talked about husband. Husband, if you kill your son, what would the neighbor say about you? What would the press talking about you? You cannot really bring them out into the good land you promised to them. And now you kill them before they grow up, before they can really be your son. That means you are inferior. You cannot do it. This talk is really like a wife talking to the husband. Why this? You know, God was put on at the corner. God was put on a spot. He needed something to get out. By his righteousness, by his faithfulness, he should kill them at once. But he cannot do that. So God needed someone to help him to get out of this dilemma. And Moses stepped up. Moses here takes the position that Jehovah is still his God. Moses spoke like a helper, like a wife to her husband. Husband, remember, this is your son. This is your people. And do not make neighbors to complain about you, the impotent father. You cannot do it. And third thing is that Moses took on God's faithfulness, because you already promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Your word cannot change. Your word, when you said it, it will be fulfilled. So Moses really knows who God is, his faithfulness. He almost like remind Jehovah. Okay, when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, how do you face them? I kill all your descendants. So think about this, just three verses here in Moses' intercession. Wow. So God's anger was pacified. And here, I want to mention the word repent. Because this word troubled many of us. Does God repent like us? When we repent, means we did something wrong. And we didn't anticipate it. We didn't have a foresight. So after we've done it, it's, uh-oh, I make a mistake. Or I had changed my mind. But actually, in Hebrew, this word, it means the heart is aching, is in pain to such a degree, you breathe hard, you almost, you cannot speak. God is, oh, I will consume them, but let me alone. This is that kind of situation. So Moses knows that. Moses knows God's heart is aching, is hurt badly. Moses said, especially here, turn away your burning anger and repent from this evil against your people. Here especially, evil, this evil, God consuming children of Israel, Moses considered it as an evil. Why is that? Because this is said regarding Egyptians. He does not want to leave a place for Egyptians to accuse God. Saints, I wish to bring this matter to all of our heart. If we made a mistake, maybe some of the things are small things, but some of the things, not remember He's our God, He's our source, He's our Redeemer, He's our Savior. Some of the things is really hurting God's heart. And this hurting God's heart, not only hurting God, but gave the enemy laughs, accusations. Paul said to the Corinthians, drive out that evil man. But after Corinthians repented, and then that brother also repented, he said, forgive him. So we do not leave a place for the enemy to accuse. For we do know the strategies of the devil. So Moses here, he also does not leave any place for the enemy. But also, he knows, God, your heart is aching, but you shouldn't do this. You should change this evil against your people. So here we see that Moses, he really knows God's heart. Okay, I will just put up 3 points regarding Moses' intercession. First is his position. The people in the foot of the mountain, their God is a golden calf. But for Moses, Jehovah is his God. Two, he said, this people is your people. We shouldn't consider maybe our small group or the same, or the new one I brought to, or they've been preached through my preaching. They are my people. We put into our pocket. We always should know these are God's people. The church belongs to Christ. We need to be very clear, otherwise our ambition one day will come up. Remember Jeroboam, when he divided from the kingdom of Judah, he built 2 golden calves. Golden calf is for satisfying our ambition. The next, he does not leave any room for enemy to attack God. Then third, he reminds God, you are faithful. Whatever you said, especially to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, you need to fulfill it. And you will fulfill it. So out of Moses' intercession, that Jehovah repented of the evil which he said he would do to his people. And here, we can see that Moses had no intention of, yes, kill them. I will take them. You make my people into your people. Moses has no intention of that at all. We need to be pure, clear before the Lord. There's no ambition. Okay, now we come to the third point. There's a lot of verses. I will just lead us through, so we don't need to read everything. So here, after Moses' intercession, Jehovah repented. Jehovah still burning. His heart is aching. But he does not consume them. And yet, at this point, Moses, the wife, pick up the action. So the third is from the later part of 32 to 33. Moses, he really knows God's heart, and he takes action to rectify the situation. First, he went down to the mountain. He saw the situation there. He even threw the tablet. God inscribed with his finger. Wow, if Moses didn't smash that tablet today, that would be in the museum. Something very, very special. But Moses didn't regard it, smash it. Did he first ask God's permission to do that? No. But how can he dare to do that? Because he really understands God's anger. If the children of Israel broke the covenant, their action hurts God and broke the covenant. Then he grind the golden calf into powder and order the Israelites who worship the golden calf to eat it and drink it. Did God ask him to do that? No. Moses initiated. Then Moses asked Aaron, what did you do? Actually, God wanted to kill Aaron. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, Moses pleaded for Aaron. And Aaron here is trying to get away. He said, well, children of Israel gave me the gold, so I throw it into a fire, boom, come out with golden calf. That's a really miracle. I would say that many pastors who want to gain the interest for themselves, one day when they face before the Lord, they may say this kind of lies. Then Moses asked, those who stand on the side of Jehovah, come out this way. So the Levites come out. And he asked them to kill those idol worship. So Levi become the priest. That's another thing I do not have time to talk about. But Moses really clear and kill those idol worship. So here we need to see there's a punishment. There's a consequence for worshiping the idols. After all these actions, Moses went up to see God again. So Moses is like, he is about 81 or 82 years old. He was in the mountaintop and he came down, he smashed, he did all the things and then he went up. He's 80 some years, almost like a Brother James' age. He was traveling back and forth. And this time, he came down the mountain. He can sense God's heart, aching heart. He understands God's painful feeling. So he punished the children. He did all this called a disciplinary action. So after he did that, he went back. He wanted to appease God, whether he can propitiate God's anger. So verse 30, on the next day, Moses said to the people, you have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up to Jehovah. Perhaps I can make expiation for your sin. And Moses returned to Jehovah and said, oh, this people have committed a great sin and have made gods of gold for themselves. See, the first thing Moses did, Moses confessed what the people has done. Moses, as a mother who did not hide, he wanted to save his children. But he also confessed the real situation before God. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, consider he didn't finish this. If you will forgive their sin. And he was looking, when he's talking, he's looking God's countenance. Whether the husband anger has gone or is still not good. So Moses stopped there and changed. If not, please blot me out of your book, which you have written. Oh, Moses really knows. As a wife, wow. If you don't forgive your children, you kill me. So he's put his life out of spot. And Jehovah said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will block him out of my book. God is still angry. Look at the tone he's speaking. And now go, lead the people to the place about which I have spoken to you. Now my angel will go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. God in there, there's a forgiveness, but there's a final judgment according to what we have done after our salvation. Saints, we are saved by grace. There's nothing we can do to earn the salvation. But after our salvation, we still need to know one day when the Lord comes, there's a final judgment seat of Christ. He's still judged according to what we did after we are saved. Verse 5, chapter 33. Okay, Moses went to the mountain down there. He actually did all these things according to God's righteousness. He crushed the tablet. He crushed the golden calf. He killed all the idol worship. And was trying to pacify God. So all this action is for God's righteousness. Now what Moses did, two more things, is for God's holiness. Verse 5. Now Jehovah has said to Moses, say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. If I were to go up in your midst for one moment, I would consume you. Because God is still angry. The whole congregation is polluted. Now therefore, put off your ornaments from you, and I will decide what to do to you. That the children of Israel will strip off their ornaments from Mount Horeb onward. See here, why God, this is the only thing that God asked Moses to do. All other actions are initiated by Moses. Because children of Israel didn't realize they're still carrying the earrings, the nose ring, the bracelet, all kind of ornaments to beautify themselves. Maybe many ones, they don't have the earring. But God wanted to really deal with the issue of our beautification, the source of making the idol. And people didn't take initiative. So here I want to mention something is that in the church life, after we are saved, we need to have a proactive attitude to seek after God. Don't be passive. If you're passive, everything you are waiting to be told to do something. Today we have the life, the divine life within us. We need to exercise our spirit. We need to be proactive to read the Bible, to go to the meeting, to seek for fellowship. Don't be passive. If everything is passive to you, you'll be just like children of Israel. But look, Moses. God didn't command him to do all those actions. But Moses did it. This is only one action God told Israel to do. Verse 7. After this, clear up their ornaments. Now Moses would take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, some distance from the camp. See, here again, Moses saw that. What God did, God didn't want to have any source of idolatry remain in the camp. Moses knew he cannot remain in the camp. He didn't ask God whether I can do this. No, he took initiative. He moved the tent. So this go out the tent. This is in the book of Hebrews. Go out the camp. Today, many, the whole Christianity is defiled. We really wanted to say, Lord, I'm in your recovery. We need to go out the camp. We do not have any association with the polluted things, polluted practices. And everyone who saw Jehovah went out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. And then, because Moses did this, the cloud descended. Descend to where? To the tent Moses brought out of the camp. So here it means God is pacified. And God wanted to talk about, to meet with Moses. God still cares for his people. But we need to get out of the polluted camp. Here we see Moses, all these actions, it's just like a wife who knows her husband, who knows what to do. Moses is very proactive. Remember in Genesis chapter 2, after God created Adam, God said that it's not good for him to be alone. We will make a counterpart to help him as a helper. We know Adam represented Christ. We, the redeemed people, has come out of him, the church. Eventually, we will be his counterpart. We will be his wife. Even the New Jerusalem is a wife of the Lamb. And in Isaiah 54, verse 5, for thy maker is your God. A husband, for thy maker is your husband. God created us. God redeemed us. He wants us to be his wife. A wife is for what? Wife is to help the husband. So God was put into the corner. He has no way out. He's in a dilemma. But Moses' action, Moses' intersection, Moses, all the things, actions, help God has a way out. And he did not leave any room for enemy to accuse. And God still remained his position. He can be faithful to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. So this is what God wants. So saints, do not just say, oh, I'm saved already. Oh, I know God already. May the Lord deal with the idols in our heart and also cause us to know God's heart and to know his ways and to know also how to take initiation according to God's heart desire. And Jehovah will speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his companion. God, the mighty God, he needs a companion on the earth. This is the principle of incarnation. In creation, God did it by himself. To accomplish the redemption, Christ did it by himself. But in accomplishing the economy, God needs a counterpart. God needs someone, his position is Jehovah. He really knows God's heart and knows how to take action. Verse 12, Moses to Jehovah, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you were sent with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, see here, Moses really repeat God's word. He stand on the position, what you said. So saints, this is a prayer reading. Oh, we don't need to pray many things out of our heart desire. We need to say, to take what God said and speak and pray back. This is a very good position. Please let me know. now your ways. See, by this time, Moses already knows God's heart, God's way, God's principle. He deals with the children of Israel according to God's righteousness and his holiness. Moving out of his tent out of the camp is according to God's holiness. Moses already knows, but he still strives. I wanted to know your ways so that I may know you. This is just like Paul in Philippians chapter 3. He already, in chapter 1, he already, for me to live is Christ. But in verse 3, he still said, that I may know Christ. Saints, every day is a new opportunity for us to know him, to know his ways. Wow, what a challenge. God is unlimited. God is unsearchably rich. Every day we can know him a little bit more. To explore his riches. To taste his wonderfulness. That I may know you, so that I may continue to find a favor in your sight. This actually, find a favor, is in the Old Testament, grace. You know, in the New Testament, the last prayer is grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. Oh, Moses really knows. He wanted God's grace. Consider also this. This nation is your people. He reminds, consider. Because God's economy, God's everything is, he wanted to get a group of people to be his own. And they eventually will be holy, righteousness, everything just like him. Moses, still, he touched the scars, deep spot. This is your people. After this, 14, and Jehovah said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. Wow. Until now, God is fully pacified. God's tone is changed. Early on, before Moses reached that point, God said, I will not go, otherwise I will consume them. But here, so Moses knows how to keep reaching to God's full mediation. Then Moses go on a little further. So this should be our attitude. When we spend time with the Lord, let's continue a little bit. And Moses said to him, if your presence does not greet us, do not bring us from here. For how then shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us, so that I and your people, see, Moses keep reminding, I and your people are distinct from all the other people who are on the face of the earth. Wow. Moses is really, really glad. Your presence going with us. Presence means a lot. Presence in our today's terminology is our blending spirit, our mingle spirit. The Lord is in our spirit. We want to sense his presence, his dear presence, and his sweet presence, his happy presence with us. Presence is a little bit different from just going with you. I remember Brother Lee make one illustration I remember so clearly. Okay, if you have a companion, you're going up, you travel to a place, you're riding on the same train. If you are in a good relationship, the presence is with you and also smiling. But if you have some kind of a dispute or some kind of a quarrel, your companion may move to another car. You're still traveling to that same destination, but there's no presence. Today, the Lord is bringing all of us, bring his people toward his kingdom. but how we need to treasure the Lord's presence. And Jehovah said to Moses, I will do this thing also that you have spoken, for you have found a favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Wow, wonderful. We can be known by the Lord. And Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 said, God knows those who love him. We love him. We consider him as our husband. There's no other replacement in our heart. And most continue to say, please, show me your glory. Moses, he really wanted to touch God's heart. I think I need another major time to talk about this thing, and I think I can just stop here. Maybe eventually we can have another time for fellowship. But today, I hope I brought up three major things in chapter 32 and 33. First thing is the idol. Saints, may we pray the Lord have mercy on us. We are all saved. We are all redeemed. But we just like children of Israel. If we don't deal with the idols, the concept within our heart, sooner or later, there's something come out. And two is that God needs a wife, a helper, a companion to help him deal with certain situations. God is almighty, yet he really needs a wife as a helper in this terrible situation. And third, we need to be proactive like Moses. Don't be passive. Proactive to know God's heart, to do things according to God. But this need us to take time to know him. May the Lord bless every one of us.